Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Paint Me to Paint Me show. I am the Reverend Edward Paint Me. I tell you, the Sambo of the Year award has gone buck wild. There is, I would never imagine this happening ever. We've been broadcast over four different radio shows across the country. Plus on my Black Talk, tell you the Sambo of the Year award has a motor and driving all over the country. I got a call from Utah, out of all the places in the world. I figured those guys would stick together regardless what might happen. But believe me, this is something that that nobody would ever say a guess in a million years that she wants to start or have the Sambo of the Year Utah. Can you believe that? She wants to have the Sambo of the Year in Utah. I am in total awe. Utah, out of all the places in this country, Utah wants to have the Sambo of the Year award. But I told her, nobody's going to beat my Sambos. I got the real deal. I got my leather seats who received 25,200. And 27 votes. Then I have Marcus Muhammad, the Nation of Islam. It's obvious they came out. They showed their true colors. They didn't want that boy to lose because they knew he was a Sambo. Yeah, that Marcus Muhammad, he's a real Sambo. You can see him. If you ever go to City Hall, when white folks come on, you can see him kissing their butts. He's the real deal. And then we had Dwayne Z. This is the first time a mother and a son combination. I told the girl in Utah, I said, send me $500. And she said, why? I said, because I want you to pay in advance because you're getting ready to lose. You're getting ready to get a butt whooping. Can't nobody beat my Sambos. They was made by Whirlpool. See, Whirlpool manufactures Sambos. They do washer dryers, stove refrigerators, and Sambos. And if you look on the back of my leather seat's neck, you will see made by Whirlpool with 666 on the back of her neck. You'll see it. It'll have made by Whirlpool. You know, it's labeled and tagged. Then you have Marcus Muhammad, your mayor, you know, because that's how black people do. Black people like to be oppressed, you know. They love it, especially here. You see, if you look on the back of his neck, you'll see Whirlpool Corporation, 666. And then you have Dwayne C. Because he get up on Sunday and preach with Whirlpool label on his back of his head with 6666. Man, who would believe it? Well, I told these people, you are not going to out-sample my Sambos. I got the leading Sambos in the world. These people are ready. You know, Ben Harper's tired of being a loser. But I believe they can win the Sambo of the whole country. Maybe the whole world. I put my Sambos up because these white folks, too. It don't make no difference. My Sambo's going to win. These guys are professional Sambos. And, you know, even Muhammad White came to City Hall and talked about him being a worthless husband and father. He's telling her she's a single parent. And then her mother, out of all the people, her job is to console. You console your daughter and your grandchildren and him. That's what you do. But unfortunately, it don't work out that way. But I'm excited today. I'm excited to know that, you know, that this Sambo thing is going nuts. we will, on February 1st, Black History Month, the beginning, we're going to square off against Houston, Texas, St. Louis, Missouri, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Columbus, Ohio, and Cincinnati, Ohio. But hey, I think I'm gonna have we might have a hard time with Houston because it's a bigger city. Well, all the cities are bigger than Benton Harbor, but we managed to get 25,000 people to vote for our candidate. So everybody putting up $500. The pot is going to be $3,000. And with that money that we're going to win, we're going to donate that money. I'm going to give my good friend Elnora, and she deserves, you know, a donation from us. And also the Benton Harbor Water Council for all their hard work. And it's amazing how that, you know, even the water situation turned out. You see, the water situation was so important, especially to the resident of Benton Harbor, but they never knew it because the news media never talked about it. They only see people in Benton Harbor because of their educational background. You know, they might even have a degree, but still don't have that critical thinking, you know. These are not the smartest people there is in the world living in Benton Harbor. Anytime you let people oppress you and you still want to be their friend, there's a problem. I don't give a it's my daddy. If he, you know, you're not going to oppress me and my people and my children for no reason. It's not going to happen, you see, because I'm going to stand up for the future of the children. That's my fight. My fight is not with you. You small potatoes. You see, when I say small potatoes, I mean exactly that. You're small potatoes, you see. And that's important, you see. I wouldn't even waste my time, you know, with you. That's one of the reasons, you know, at the end of the day, history is recording our action. People must decide if they want to be honored as a great leader or be eternally disgraced as a traitor of the black race. At the most critical hour, the choice is yours. It's yours. It's all yours. The choice is yours. You see, there are many reasons to turn someone to betray their community and race. Money, time, most of the time, black folks are motivated by money rather than being a humanitarian for the future. That's why it has taken over 450 years to get where we are today. If you want to get anything in life, you have to stand up and work for it. You could not get anything in this world without fighting. And they count on us not to fight. Black people are too busy fighting each other. But let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. The only thing I ask of you, don't bother me, and I won't bother you as long as you stay out of my way. I do not talk to Sambos. If my house is on fire and you as a Sambo see it, do not call, tell me my house on fire. Don't do it. I do not talk to you Sambos, you see. And I know that you guys are the leading Sambos, y'all favorite to win this thing. The guy from Houston told me. He said, you know, you got some tough samples. He said, I read their bios. He said, those are tough samples you got there. I said, yeah, they the real deal. You know, and then, you know, they so proud of being a sample, they walk around with World Boot label on the back of their neck with three sixes. That's right. You got my letter C with Whirlpool Labor on the back of her neck with 3 6's. You got Marcus Muhammad walking around here with 3 6's on his neck. 3 6's. And the label Whirlpool Corporation. And then you got Dwayne Seats walking around on the back of his neck with 3 6's. 3 6's. 3 6's. And the brand Whirlpool Corporation. You see? But I say this to all you out there. I'm serious about this. I'm going to say what I want to say. You don't like it? Too bad. I'm going to do what I want to do. You don't like it? Too bad. Don't bother me. And I promise I won't bother you as long as you stay out of my way. I do not talk to sandals. Those are the worst people there is in the whole wide world. The worst people, you know. And the sad part, who is sucking our blood in the black community? It's not just white folks. It's black folks, too. It's your buddy, the one you went to school with. You know, even one you would never anticipate would do anything like that. That's right. I would, if you told me that Marcus Muhammad was going to be a sample, then you would have to fight. You know, because I know Minister Louis Farrakhan and how he felt, you know. But he told Minister Louis Farrakhan, kiss, you know, that's what he was telling me. You kiss my whatever. That, you know, I'm catering to these white folks, you know. You know, think about this. If there was no racism in this world, there wouldn't be any sandals. That's right. You would not have any sandals if there was no race. Whirlpool couldn't reproduce them. You see, Whirlpool got an assembly line. He's using the Boys and Girls Club to produce more samples, to take the samples places out here now. They're using the school system. You see, they don't want your children to be educated. They don't want them. They don't need your children to be educated. They don't want them. And then what they like to do, put your children in special ed, and they get double the money. That's right. Label your child unfit to learn, and you accept it. Label your child unfit to learn. Your child doesn't have the ability to learn. You could teach a monkey to do things. You could teach a gorilla to do things. And you can't teach a black child to do something. They're using that as an excuse, and you have fallen into the trap. You see, yeah, your son may have graduated from high school, but he don't know nothing. Maybe your son graduated from college. He still don't know nothing. Because they don't teach critical thinking in college. It starts from 1 to 12. And that's how they get away with this stuff. That's how they get away with miseducating our children, and you accept it. I know you're busy trying to make a home for your child. You can't make a home if you're not helping them. You've got to be there studying. You know, you got strong fighters, like Elnor Gaddy. Strong educational fighter, and a brilliant young lady. Smart. See, when I ask the question, where are all the smart people ill, only Elnor Gavin can stand up. She's the only one. And she can take a bow because she deserves it. She went out and got $12 million for gift. That's her work. That ain't nothing to them. Now, what type of people will vote a Trent Boyne on a school board? Look at him. Take a good look at him. You want him over your children? Are you that sick? Ronaldo Tripp, you want him over your children? What is wrong with you people? Stop it. You're creating a major problem. This is how Whirlpool makes samples and labor them. Whirlpool Corporation on the back of their neck. With 3 6. Who in their right mind Who in their right mind would vote for Trenton Boyd and Ronaldo Tripping to be over the school board? Who? You got to be a real sick person. That's child abuse. You see, when you put people like that over your children, that's child abuse. You're abusing your children. You see, and you're sitting at home watching TV or watching your story or working at McDonald's, that's child abuse. And when I say child abuse, I mean exactly that. That's exactly what it is. It's child abuse to send your child and allow these people to be over your children who has no love for your child, but you're not smart enough to see it. That's how Whirlpool's doing what they're doing. Well, now, who? Let me go back to be the elected official. Who in their right mind will trade 7 parcels of contaminated land for some good prime property and talk about they done beat somebody? Go sit your butt down in a corner. Go sit your butt down in a corner. All you're doing is destroying. You people out there, you vote the same people in the office that's oppressing you. You know, they love white folks, you know. And then watch these little programs. See, that block grant money is important because now the residents of Benton Harbor have to pay that money back. The people who got the block money, they get a chance to keep. One guy even went out and filed bankruptcy. That's right. He filed bankruptcy. You see, so he could keep the money. Unbelievable. And we cry what white folks doing to us. White folks is not doing to us. They go out and get these Sambos. And these Sambos do the same thing over and over and over again. You see, and a Sambo, the definition of a Sambo is a person who've been robbed of themselves, whose best interest is white folk, not black folk, not even your own children. That's right. Your best interest is white folk. You love these white devils. They have no interest in us. None. And you got the nerve to want to help them destroy us. Right now, you and your Sambo crew is plotting. How can we get Reverend Pinkney, you're going to the white man, let's plant some drugs on him. Nah, he can, you know, he got lawyers, though. He got lots of lawyers, and they love him because they love the truth. You guys can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. That's why you act the way you do. Want to support somebody who don't support you or your children, you got to be sick. You see, these Sambos are real. These Sambos are real. This is no game. This is a real deal. This is why we're in this position today. We're nowhere. You see, we're nowhere where we should be better off. Every time you get someone offered, they do the same thing over and over and over again. They attack our children. That's what they do. They attack our children. The main problem when they attack our children. But my Sambos, I'm putting my Sambos up against anybody. And you can bet your life my Sambo will out-Sambo you. They got that label in the back of their head, Whirlpool Corporation, and the 3 6s. And they think they're above everybody. Malala Seats, Marcus Muhammad, Dwayne Seats, mother-son combination. On that note, I'm going to bring in my good friend, Belinda Parker Brown. I promise that she's going to get some time today. And Belinda Parker Brown to the rail. Talk to the rail.
Well, Pastor Pinckney, I'm enjoying you, and I am so just elated that you make me laugh because, you know, you tell the truth in such a hilarious way. And, you know, we have to have some fun doing this, but, you know, when it's the truth, Pastor Pinckney, I mean, you know, it's just almost like you just give it a extra boost, you know, to for us to have so much fun because when you talk about
you know what, I'm having fun doing it. You know, calling
right.
These old
you got me just rolling and I'm just wilding and just, you know, I'm just tickled to tickle pink about, you know, when you talk about your sailboat, especially my leather seats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know them people.
Yeah.
And I know you telling the truth.
I just the part I like. See, now they wear a Whirlpool label on the back of their neck, made by Whirlpool and the Three Sixes.
That's a brand. You know, that's a brand. You know, when they would here in Louisiana, the brand for slavery is it's called the Florida Leaf. You know, it's the Florida Leaf in it. You know, they put it on everything. I mean, just everything. They got flashing lights. They put it on their cars. It's the Florida Leaf. You probably know what I'm talking about. But that was the brand that they had when they would stick it into the hot iron fire, and then when they buy a slave on the block down here. You know, right by the river, when they buy a slave, they would stick it into the hot burning coals, and then they would stick it on the person, bare skin. And when they stick on them, that mean that they own. That mean that that's a Louisiana slave. And if he escaped, you know, and somebody else found them over in Mississippi or wherever, you know, they would have to bring them back to Louisiana. You know, to his owner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting.
So when you say a Whirlpool tag, you know, Whirlpool then branded them and made them their slaves. And, and they, just enough to know it, Pastor Pinckney. I think they do know it, but they don't care. Like you said, they're going after our children to destroy them because, you know, somebody have to be exploited in this colonized system, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, they got to have somebody to work at their McDonald's and somebody to slave on their plantation jobs, you know, whether it be in Whirlpool in the basement or wherever it is, you know, somebody got to get down there and stack their papers and clean out their, you know, their mess. So, you know, that's what they do to us, Pastor Pinckney. And because of that, you have identified these people by giving them some very hefty rewards.
Yeah.
The sailboat reward. I mean, what, Pastor Pinckney, you are so creative. I'm telling you, you are brilliant coming up with that, Pastor Pinckney. I'm telling you, that is phenomenal because we need to let that spread across the whole entire world and identify these people and give them the reward.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then you want to you say you want to have a competition, but I don't believe nobody gonna beat your sailboat. I got some sailboats down. I got some sailboats down here in Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney, but I think yours top them all. I don't even think I want to get in a competition with you on that.
Listen, the guy from Houston told me, I'm gonna beat you because we got more people. I said, your people ain't, once they read the bio of my sample, ain't no way you gonna beat me. He talking about, yeah, that's how we came up with the $500. He willing to, he said, well, I'm putting up five. I said, okay, well, that's gonna be the criteria to have this runoff. So the guy from Columbus, Ohio, he said, well, I put up 500 too, because we got some real samples here too. I said, I know everybody got these samples, you know. But I'm counting my sandals as labels.
You're the originator, Pastor Pinckney. You are the originator, and I'm going to tell you, they're going to have a hard time trying to beat out your sandals because your sandals has been homegrown.
You me, and one of the sound of my letters when we was in court, and she told the judge, I'm half Jewish. You get a look on the face of the judge and everybody in the courtroom, you know what they got to do with it? Look, my family been in Ben House since 1861.
Oh.
and they were Jewish.
Wow. I know that was a shake up though, Pastor Pinckney. I'm telling you, I am having so much fun with this. You has got me rolling. You has got me rolling, Pastor Pinckney. I'm telling you, I'm like, if we can really get a trophy with their faces on it, you know, get them a billboard, some flashing lights going around it, you know, put it up on an interstate, you know, all of that, you know, warn the people and say, you're coming into Sabo territory.
Yeah. I like that, Belinda. Belinda, I like that.
Yes, indeed.
You know what? I may be able to raise some money to y'all. Look, one guy sent me a check for $500. A guy from Benton Harbor, check this out. He gave me $300 cash. He said that you shouldn't be doing this all by yourself. People should be reaching out helping you because you stand up fighting for us. You know, and I said, yeah, I am. But like I told him, I'm not looking for nobody to give me no money. You know what I'm saying?
But Pastor Pinckney, listen to, you know, this is, I'm going to tell you, this is big, Pastor Pinckney. If you listen to the real narrative of what your point is all about, is the fact that these people been helping us lose as black people here in America. You know, and there are people that look like us that's been handpicked and paid to represent us, and they're not for us, and they're working against us, Pastor Pinckney, with the oppressors, and you know, until we look at Clarence Thomas, you know, he married this white woman, and you know, he is the epitome of the Sambos.
Yeah. You said the magic word too. I tell you, but I love the direction that this thing is going in. And if you had told me that it was going to be like this, I would have said, no way, Belinda Parker Brown. I would have said, no way. And I tell you this much, this thing is so good that I don't know what to tell you. I like what everybody, you know, everybody's trying to start this. Did I tell you a lady from Utah, called me and wanted to set up a Sambo of the Year Award. I mean, that was the shocking. I mean, she called me today and said, I want to, you know, I guess they think I got it where, on, you know, you have to come and ask. You don't have to ask me. You don't have to, because these sandals are everywhere. And Belinda, we got to go after them. See, too many years we gave them a free pass.
Right, absolutely. They have been, you know, doing this to us, Pastor Pinckney, for centuries. You know, I mean, well, I'm gonna say, you know, it's been, you know, they've been doing this to us for hundreds of years, Pastor Pinckney. You know, who was I want to say Harriet Tubman, that, you know, she, her and Sojourner Truth, you know, the people that were fighting to for freedom of the slaves, and Harriet Tubman, she you know, freed thousands of slaves, but she identified those Sambos that that wanted to go back and, you know, spy on her, and they wanted to make like they wanted to be free, but then once they got out there, they wanted to make like they want to turn around and go back and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And she said, no, we, you know, you ain't fit to go back. And that's what she had her gun on her hip for, because she said, we're going to bury you right here on the spot. You're not fit to go back and expose, you know, our freedom trail, you know.
Absolutely.
To your master that you loyal to, you know, we gonna kill you, Sambo, right here. We gonna bury you right here under these weeds.
There you go.
So, Pastor, you're not killing them or anything. You're not. What you're doing is so profound, because what you're saying is that y'all done dumbed us down long enough with this foolishness. Now we know, Clarence Thomas, who you are, and we're going to put you on blast. We're going to expose you. We're going to tell the whole world that you are nothing but a Sambo, and that you know, your kids, your ancestors, you know, all the way back to your dead folks, you know, is going to be exposed. And that's what it's all about. Because once you know, Pastor Pinckney, what you're doing right now is really helping raise the consciousness of people. You know, you're transforming their minds, the way they think. You know, you're letting people know that this stuff is real. This is what's been happening to us. You know, our own people selling us out. We got to go and identify them, you know, call them by name, their government name, their whole name, my letter seats, you know, and Marcus Muhammad, you know, I don't think like you say, he don't deserve to go with the Muhammad name. That we got to find out what his last name was. What was it? Smith or something?
Singer.
I don't know.
Marcus Singer,
there you go. We got to call him out by his government name and then put them on, put their faces on posters and paste it on there and say, Sambo been exposed. That's what we got to say, you know, Pastor Pinckney,
you know,
about him.
I like that billboard, putting their pictures up on that billboard. I like that.
Right, because
I'm seeking out raise some money and give them a billboard.
Yeah, they only cost, I think, if you did a big one, Pastor Pinckney, $2,000, you know, that's not, you can raise that. We can raise that, Pastor Pinckney. I'll help you. I'll throw in a couple hundred dollars for that, because we got to do, you know, we got to do that. And then we got to let the world know that, you know, anybody that decide that they want to become a sellout, a Sambo, their name is going on the list. Their name is going on the universal list that this is who they are, and this is what, you know, we just like my letter seats. We know that she a whirlpool coon. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to say.
We got to say.
She's been branded. It's on the back of her neck. You know, down her turtleneck or pull down her collar or whatever and look at it. It's right there, you know.
There it is. It's, look, right on the back of her neck.
Right.
Look, it's right before your very eyes if you look at it, because you'll see, you can see. But then them three sixes, you know, they might overshadow.
Right. But, you know, but Pastor Pinckney, this put us in a real good mode that we don't have to hold no unforgiveness. You know, we don't have to, nothing don't have to be concealed anymore. You know, we don't have to be in denial. We don't have to be wondering, you know, walking around wondering and, you know, wondering, well, if they're Sambo, well, what about this, what about that? We can go head on and expose them now, Pastor Pinckney, through your program, because that is so powerful. for what you're doing, and it's helping a lot of our young people, especially because then when they decide to get into these powerful positions and become leaders, they won't be bit by the scandalon. They won't fall for the Sambo syndrome, and there'll be people of integrity and honesty and transparency and help their people. You know, that's what it's all about. If we had the right leaders, Pastor Pinckney, do you know how what that would mean to us, that all the black leaders, just like Obama, he became a Sambo. You know, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. You know, they get in office and then they get bought out. You know, they go in there with these price tags hanging on them, how much they worth, and then they Whirlpool, you know, they match the dollar and say, well, here, we're going to give you a Mercedes-Benz. It's like a lot of our NAACP presidents. You know, they bomb these fancy cars and you know, lavish homes and stuff like that, and then they don't do nothing. The NAACP is defunct. You know, we wonder why come the NAACP don't do nothing no more? That's why, Pastor Pinckney, they don't have to whisper it no more. Those leaders have been bought out, and now they're Sambos.
Yeah, straight up Sambo. And then you know what? You should see them walking around like you know. We was in right in front of the city hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we were doing a protest. Up comes Upton. Here go Marcus running over there to him. He patting Marcus on the back of his head like he's a dog and rubbing his head. And I'm looking at both of them. I'm looking at both of them in their eyes. I said, what's going on here? You know? I said, that man ain't no dog. Or is he? That's over my exact word. He ain't no dog, or is he a dog? I mean, what is we doing?
Well, what's interesting is that I believe that they got something on these people. You know, why is this easy for them?
Do they
go in that way, or do they become that way? You know. Or what, as leaders. Once they're elected, just like Mileta, you know, I remember when, you know, I voted for her to become the,
We helped her. I mean,
we helped her.
We went out our way and helped that girl and everything. As soon as she got in there, she flipped the strip on everybody. She became white nags. Yep.
Right, Pastor Pinckney, and you know, she done sat at our table. We done broke bread and stuff together.
Yeah.
You know, she helped. You know, all of my children and celebrated our family reunions and birthdays and stuff like that together. And Pastor Pinckney, do that. You know, what I'm saying is, what is it that they got on these people that, you know, that Whirlpool, you know, multi-billion-dollar corporation can make somebody sell their soul like that? What is it?
No, it's obvious they got something.
You know, and I know Mark running around chasing the young girls and, you know, baby snatchers. You know, I know that, you know, because I worked with him at the high school, you know, and I had my eye on him. I was getting all kinds of complaints from the young girls saying that he was flirting with them and messing with them and stuff like that. So I had to put him in check. I'm like, look here, you know, you not fit to come in here and solicit these young girls. You know, who you think you is?
And you know what? You warned me about him. You remember?
Yes,
you told me
I did.
That.
I warned you that.
You told
that,
me. You said he ain't no good.
Mm-hmm. Right. He was a slick willy walking around with a process under a hat.
Yep. I remember.
You know, was he assistant Baskey used to, you know, at the high school, but he was walking around all fly. You know, he looked like he wanted to be Superfly somebody, you know, you know, young enough to be my son. But, I was like, you know, hold up, wait a minute. You know, and we, Pastor Pinckney, you know, the Minister Farrakhan came to your house, sat at your dining room table. I'll never forget Pastor Pinckney.
You said the magic word.
Warren Marcus, he basically compelled him to stand for the people.
Yep.
And he asked him, will you be for the people?
That's right. He said the magic word, you know, will you be for the people? You know?
Marcus said right there, I looked at him. I wanted to look at him cross-eyed because I know he was lying, Pastor Pinckney.
But I just couldn't see him lying to the minister, you know, someone who he,
Pastor Pinckney, face to face.
Yeah,
we witnessed that face to face, right in your kitchen, right in your dining room, at your table.
Yeah.
We met with. I think you let Minister Farrakhan, you know, he didn't even want to sit. Minister Farrakhan, you were sitting at the head of the table, Pastor Pinckney, where you always sit.
Absolutely. And, you know, even today, you know, I'm thinking
about. Minister Farrakhan was sitting to your left, and Marcus was sitting to your right, and right a straight cross for Minister Farrakhan, and me and my husband was sitting down at the other end, and then Dorothy was there, and some of his comrades were standing around, but we were sitting down, and face to face, Marcus, what you say his last name is, because he don't deserve to be called
Singer.
Muhammad.
Singer.
He was eyeball to eyeball right across the table from Minister Farrakhan when he told that bald faced lie.
Right to everybody's face.
Yes. So I we're not making this up, Pastor Pinckney. Okay. So just for the listeners out there, we can give y'all time, date, pictures, photos, everything you need to see. Cause I videotaped when the Minister Farrakhan rung your doorbell. You came to the door. Okay. So, you know, I got a lot of respect for the minister, you know, Honorable Minister Farrakhan, and I believe in that man and his mission, and I just can't believe that Marcus, you know, would try to, you know, get away with something like that. You know, like the whole Nation of Islam ought to be, you know, putting him in check.
You are absolutely right. I tell you,
he didn't disgrace the Nation of Islam and all of those great brothers, you know, that stood with him. You know, it's just not good. You know, and now Pastor Pinckney, is he gonna be the new mayor? Did he win or lose? Is the mayor election coming up?
He already won. He won. They cheated for him. They had 180 ballots that they claimed nobody voted for him or Gwen.
What?
Yeah.
They
won by they had 180 ballots. They must knew that he was gonna lose. So they claimed that 180 ballots, nobody voted for the mayor on those 180 ballots. I find this almost ridiculous.
Right. So those could have swayed whichever way it went, but they say nobody voted. I mean, no, they didn't choose a candidate.
Right. They didn't choose no mayor. That's the most, and that don't even make no sense. In the third and the fourth war, they cheated. But it cost $2,000 to have a recount.
Wow. Well, Pastor Pinckney, I just want to say to you, I'm looking forward to, having some special guests come on. We got a really talk about the weaponization in our legal system and what's happening, you know, in our prisons across the country with this mass incarceration. I suspect that, if we don't really rally and organize and mobilize our people, it's only going to get worse because if they're not, if the police are not shooting them down in the street, you know, in the back, running away with no weapons, I just want to say that, that's happening, then they're weaponizing them with this corrupt criminal justice system and putting people in prison, Pastor Pinckney. You know, it's really getting sad, and we're fighting here in Louisiana to abolish the death row, where they wanting to put people in the electric chair and kill people, and the sad thing about it is that we would rather have people do life in prison to be rehabilitated, and then it versus them going to death row. You know, that right there, because there's so many innocent people, are being, killed with this lethal injection and on death row. And a lot of times we find out people shouldn't, they shouldn't even be in prison, because of the new technology of the DNA and all that kind of stuff, So, we just feel like it's just so much wrong with the prison system and how they are just basically wrongfully convicted people and incarcerating people on fabricated, concocted, fraudulent information. When you look at lying police reports, are you familiar with lying police reports, how they fabricate their police reports? You know they do that, right, Pastor Pinckney?
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Because they lied on you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what they do. And most times, see, white folks believe white folks. See, this is something that black people don't get. White folks believe white folks. Black folks don't, they don't, black folks believe white folks. They don't believe black folks. Nobody believe black folks. Nobody. Mm-hmm. So that's just the way it is.
It's
unfortunate, but look, you still got to do what you got to do.
Well,
so let's stay focused.
I want to talk about what we're doing here in Louisiana, Pastor Pinckney. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to you coming down here, being a part of this, our social justice event when we're going after to abolish, that phrase inside of the 13th Amendment where you go to prison and become a slave. Why are we in the 21st century, 2024, talking about how we going to put people in prison and make them slaves? What is that about?
Mm-hmm.
Why are we still living in a country that would do something like that? So we're saying enough of that. Right along with all of y'all Sambos that need to be exposed, we're gonna change these racist, unconstitutional Jim Crow laws and get them out of the Constitution, whether it be state constitution or whatever, a national constitution. We're not just going to put up with this no more, Pastor Pinckney.
Yeah, and we can't because, but the thing is, we got to call these Sambos out. We got to make sure that if they're Sambo, we got to stand up. And we got to make sure that the system understands that we're united. You see,
right.
I believe there's strength in numbers. We got to get these black folks together and show that we're not intimidated by you. And I think that's one of the most
survey. We can do a survey on what would qualify you to be a Sambo. And then that way people know, because you know what happened to me, right, Pastor Pinckney? I got called in to the office because I said that, you know, one of our prosecuting attorneys, you know, that work in our lead district attorney office was a Sambo, right? So I said, a black man went back and told the white man, I got to get it right now, the black man, okay, went back and told the white man, his boss, that I called him a Sambo. So, you know, I have good relationships and connections with, you know, my lead district attorney, you know, because we help get him elected and everything. And he was like, well, you know, when you have time, I want to put you on my schedule to meet with me, Ms. Parker Brown. He said, because, you know, I need to discuss a matter with you. So I told him, I said, well, anytime. So I get in the office and he say, did you call, you know, one of my employees, a Sambo? And I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, because he came back very upset about that. You know, it really hurt him when you told him that. You know, he felt like, you know, you embarrassed him and you hurt his feelings, and he's not a Sambo, he said. So why would you call him?
You know, you should say that's his opinion.
I bust out start laughing. I say, you mean to tell me that as busy as I am, and I know you busy, you mean to tell me you going to call me in the office and tell me something? I say, well, then you know what? I say, if the shoe fit, then he need to wear it.
There you go.
I say, he say, well, I feel like you need to give him an apology. I say, I'm not going to apologize to him for that. I say, because, I say, it's a black thing. I say, and you white, you, and like my grandmother said, I say, this is a black thing, and you white, you need to see your way out of it. He said, well, I just wanted to let you know that you know, I don't want you upset my employees and they work hard around here. I said, yeah, they work hard, right. They sure do work hard. For you, I say, but if I call him a Sambo, he must be one. Okay.
Absolutely.
And I said, now if he complaining to you about it, I said, if it wasn't none of him, then he probably shouldn't have never said nothing. But it must be him, since he want to talk about what I said. I say, so I say, I feel like he got a problem with it because it is him.
There you go.
Right. I said, he going to mess around and he going to get on my, I said, he going to mess around. I'm going to have to turn my spiritual father, you know, Reverend Edward Pickney, to put his name on the list.
There you go. And we'll do it.
Yeah, he said, so then when I said list, he said, well, what list? I say, the Sambo list. Pastor Pickney, he don't even know you. He said, what list? He said, you got a list? I said, we sure do.
And one that you going to love.
Well, that was kind of funny, Pastor Pickney, because I looked out of that office laughing, and I said, really? I said, he said, well, I don't want you. You know, they work hard around here, and they do good work. I said, yeah, they sure do for you.
Yeah, but not for the people.
Right. He got it.
Yeah.
I left it just like that. So did. And so when they see me coming, Pastor Pick, you ought to see them. They start shaking like leaves.
They should.
And he goes, because I'm in the courthouse all the time, court watching. When he see me coming down one way, he here up, make a beeline and go down the other way. Because
I just look at him like
you know, I got this joke. I just look at him and just point my finger. And I'm like, you know.
I don't have to tell you. I don't even have to tell you. And don't even come this way.
Yes.
I love it.
Well, I really appreciate you, Pastor Pinkney. I got to get off of here, but I wanted you to schedule me to come back and talk about, you know, the Ronald Green murder. This young man was beat to death by five police officers. You know, he's a black young man. I think he was about 42 years old, and he was beat to death by five police officers. I mean, high-ranking, you know, officers, lieutenants, colonels, majors, you know, from the governor's office on down, even with the ATM, the paramedics, and you know, the ambulance service, and everybody was in on it. You know, they complicit theirself in the cover up. So I want to talk about that, Pastor Pinkney. Where are we going with that? We have been very successful to get a DOJ, the Department of Justice, to come down and do a comprehensive investigation, and we hope to see some people going to jail on behalf of the Ronald Green's murder that was worse than George Floyd that happened right before. I want to say this happened in May of 2019, and, you know, so I think it was right before the George Floyd. I'm not sure if it might have been right after. But nevertheless, it was worse than George Floyd. We have the whole 43-minute live video of the beating and him crying out for his life, you know, calling for his mama, calling on Jesus, you know, telling them, please don't kill me, you know, I'm sorry. You know, I'm your brother. You know, he was just, you know, begging for his life. And they said on video that we beat the ever living effing out of him. That's what they said on video. So, you know, this is horrendous. It's just beyond, you know, it's going to be hard for a lot of people to stomach the video. And, but nevertheless, Pastor Pinkney, we want justice for his mother. You know, Miss Mona, she's a beautiful person. She and her and his siblings, you know, and his children are fighting for justice for him. Ben Crump did come down and take the civil case. You know, we also had a good officer, Carl Cavalier. I invited him to come to the show. He's fighting to get his job back because they fired him after he was one of the a black police officer that basically leaked the video that they had covered up and concealed for over a year, almost 2 years.
Okay. So it sounds like something that we need to talk about.
Oh, absolutely, because, see, if we get justice for Ronald Green, I think we can change the way our communities are being policed. And what I'm hoping that it open up a door so that, you know, we can have, you know, our own community policing. You know, black people need their own community policing, Pastor Pinkney, because, you know, we know how to treat our people. We know where the crime is at. You know, we know who, what, when, where, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we need to be doing this ourselves versus these racist Ku Klux Klan, you know, and the Grand Wizards, you know, coming in, policing our community and killing our children. So that's got to stop. We got to really talk very boldly and profoundly about what that looked like and what change for that needs to happen, you know. And we're not satisfied as mothers until we get it, because I cannot live in the fear. You know, I have young men, I have you know, my children stands, you know, 285 pounds, 6'5", 6'7", you know, and I'm afraid every day if they get pulled over by the police, what could happen, you know, to them, you know, and as black young men, you know, they're very intelligent. You know my children, Pastor Pinkney, you already know, you have raised them.
I know them real well. That's right.
So,
I love them too. Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah,
and I don't need a Sandra Bland or a situation like that, you know, on my conscience that I got to sleep with every night because, you know, all of my children, you know, I'm just like this, you know, they're going to speak up for themselves. But most importantly, Pastor Pinckney, they're very, you know, respectful, you know, and intelligent young children, but they're not going to be pushed around because, you know, their daddy was military, you know, I mean, their daddy's mm-hmm. military, and the way he raised them to be, you know, respectful, you know, truthful, and but they're not going to stand for nobody disrespecting them either because they know their rights. So I fear for them, and not just my children, but everybody's children. You know, it's just time for us to come out of this fear as mothers on what can happen to our children during a traffic stop. You know, and that's what happened to Ronald Green during a traffic stop, speeding. You know, he lose his life, you know, and never returned home to his family because of a traffic violation. Pastor Pinckney, could you imagine the fear of that?
Wow. You know, any time you out here. Well, listen, Belinda, we're out of time, but, you know, you always, anytime that you come, I'm gonna make sure that we give you a little time, make sure that we make it happen, because today we had enough time to talk about the whole world, and that's a blessing. But listen, don't forget about my Sambos. My Sambos,
that's right.
You know, when they say my Sambos, it will go up against anybody's Sambos. I don't care who you got. You know, we'll go up against Clarence Thomas. Yeah. Listen, on that note, I got to go. We'll talk soon, young lady.
All right, now. Thank you, Pastor Pinckney.
All right.
Enjoy.
Love you, Belinda Parker Brown. Give your family a big hug for me.
All right. And tell Dark to give us our love. Okay.
All right, then. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.